Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Psalm 145 and 146. Before I read them, let me tell you a couple of things about them. First of all, when it says psalm, that means song. It's a type of song. And so Psalm 145 and Psalm 146 are song 145 and 146. And we're supposed to make music to the Lord with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And for many believers around the world, the primary songbook is the Bible, and the main book of the Bible that is filled with songs is the book of Psalms, naturally. Secondly, this particular psalm, Psalm 145, is an acrostic. An acrostic is a poem that is organized by the letters of the alphabet. The first line begins with the first letter of the alphabet. The second line begins with the second letter of the alphabet. The third line with the third letter of the alphabet, and so on. My father was a poet and used to write poems for all sorts of occasions. And when he was courting my mother back during the Great Depression in the previous century when I was born, I wasn't born during the Depression, but I was born in the previous century, my children's grandfather, wanted to let my mom know not only that he loved her, but that he loved her enough to think about it and organize his thoughts alphabetically. And so he actually wrote individual lines beginning with the different letters that he wanted to say to her, and then put each line in its own little miniature envelope and strung those envelopes together with a ribbon. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that romantic? He was a very romantic man. And his was not A, B, C, D. His was the letters to spell out the message he wanted to give her. He wanted to say, "Sweetheart." So the first line began with an S, and the second little envelope had a W on it, and inside was a line that began with W. It was lovely. The postman didn't like the fact that he only put a stamp on the first envelope and thought that should take care of everything else. But back then, the post office was willing to cooperate and not return it. But they just told him, "Don't do that again." Now, my mom was very impressed with his romanticism and with his poetry. She was not, however, as impressed with his spelling, because that was not Dad's strong suit. And so he had very meticulously written a poem that spelled S-W-E-A-T-H-E-A-R-T, sweatheart. It's the thought that counts. There is no such error in this psalm. But it is good to know that this is a careful arrangement of thoughts, of praise, that God inspired King David to write. This is God's word. "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. Psalm 146, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere, and everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand.
In these two poems, we have not only the praise of God, but an exhortation to praise the Lord. We are being instructed, commanded by God's Spirit to praise the Lord. because he is worthy. And one of the things you see repeatedly in both of these Psalms is the fact that all creation is not only made by God, but it's made in such a way that ultimately it gives him praise. And all living things praise God, whether they mean to or not. You remember Jesus on the way into Jerusalem was encouraged to rebuke the children who were praising him. People were singing his praises and shouting his praises and praising the Lord for their coming king. And the religious people didn't like that because Jesus was getting so much attention. And they said, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. If they keep quiet, the rocks will cry out. Rocks praising God? Yes. Everything praises the Lord. Well, rocks aren't living things. But when you see what God has done with rock, if it doesn't cause your heart, move your heart to say, wow, what a great creator, then there's something wrong with your heart. The rock's doing fine. I remember one of the things my dad did as we'd drive along is he'd say, look at that boulder. And I learned to look and be impressed. Different soil types, all kinds of plants, things you can only see with a microscope, the stars that we see at night, all of it speaks of the greatness of the Creator. Romans chapter 1 tells us that God has made his divine attributes visible through the things he has made. Creation speaks praise to God. There is no place in the world, the Bible says, where there isn't evidence that God is the creator and that he is wise and that he is mighty. So, in this psalm, we are not only told that everything praises the Lord, but we're told that, therefore, we should do that voluntarily, gladly. And David begins in Psalm 145, I will exalt you, my God, the King. He recognizes that God's not only the creator, but the ruler. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Do you ever get tired of praising the Lord? Do you ever get where it's like, okay, I've done that. Don't. I'm telling you, your life will be far richer if you will do what he says. Praise him. Praise the Lord. No, I don't really feel like it. You don't have to feel like it. You just need to do it. Well, what can I say? Well, try saying praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord, and then if you want to say something different, you can say glory to God. And if you want to say something different from those, you can say, you are great and greatly to be praised. You say, well, I'm not sure, I'm not very creative. Well, then read the Psalms, okay? This songbook is filled with praise to God. Well, it's got other stuff in there too. There are Psalms of Lament. Yes. And do you know what the Psalms of Lament lead into? Praise. Lift up your eyes and lift up your voice and lift up your hands and recognize anywhere you are, anytime, God is there and he is worthy of praise. Praise the Lord. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. The more you learn about how great God is, there's more and more. And more, and more, and more. His greatness no one can fathom. To fathom is to measure. It means you're checking the depth. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome deeds, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Okay? They're going to do it. Generations. David saying, one of these days, I'm going to be dead. I won't be here to do it on earth, but I'm still going to be doing it forever. Because this world is not all there is, and this life is not all there is. But there will be other folks here celebrating the greatness of God, praising the Lord, and telling the next generation like I'm telling you, okay, to praise the Lord because he's worthy of praise. And they will celebrate your abundant goodness and sing of your righteousness like a dirge. Is that what it says? No. And joyfully sing of your righteousness. Celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Up tempo. Okay? Celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Why? The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They'll tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. We're supposed to be spreading the word because there are a lot of people who are experiencing the kindness of the Lord and they don't have a clue. One of the expressions I heard from foolish people outside our community when I was growing up is, you know, I think somebody up there likes me. They don't know him. If you know him, you know that he is kind. He is gracious. He is merciful. He is patient. He is generous. I've told you repeatedly, I am amazed that God didn't just destroy me at numerous points along the way as I was growing up. I mean, I would not have put up with me. You understand? I don't wonder, you know, well, why should I have to suffer? I'm thinking, why am I not in hell? God in his mercy not only didn't destroy me, he saved me. He made me his own. I'm amazed. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you and you give them their food at the proper time. Think about all the birds out there that are depending on God. If it weren't for God's kindness, there wouldn't be any insects for them to eat. So, what about the insects? Well, if the insects didn't have any predators, they would starve. But here's the thing. We live in a world that suffers sickness and death because of sin. But God has promised a new creation. Something better is coming. So we can look forward to that. Now, as you read just as far as we've read right now in this section, as we look back through, we see that the Lord shows this common grace to all. But then the psalmist, because the Holy Spirit was inspiring him, is going to give us another bit of important perspective. The main point today comes in the verses that follow. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. So when it says that the Lord is compassionate toward everybody, it doesn't mean he's compassionate toward the wicked. Yes, it does, because if it weren't for his compassion, the wicked wouldn't have a chance to repent. If it weren't for the Lord's compassion and the Lord's patience, we'd all just be doomed. But God watches over all who love him, and yet those who refuse to repent, those who persist in wickedness, those who do not turn to the Lord seeking his mercy and grace, they're going to all be destroyed. Please understand that. So I thought God is a God of love. Yes, that's why you're still breathing. But you're saying that if I don't repent, he's going to destroy me? Yes, and it's his compassion that causes him to make sure you're warned. You are being warned that there are only two outcomes, only two destinations. Either you will enjoy the Lord forever, or you will be in torment forever. Well, I don't want to get on that road. If you don't know Jesus, you're on that road. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel thereon. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few people find it. Well, I want the narrow road. Okay, his name is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But it's his kindness that caused him to provide a way at the cost of his own life. Jesus came and he died as the payment for our sins. And then he conquered death so that we don't have anything to be afraid of any longer. Now, why did we add Psalm 146? Because there's a contrast here. Especially in this political season, it's good to know this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I'll praise the Lord all my life. I'll sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. If you compare this to Psalm 145, verse 13, your kingdom, Lord, is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. Do you see the contrast? You put your trust in man, he's going to die. May live a long time, may rule a long time, but sooner or later, he can't save you. But if you put your trust in the Lord, he's not going anywhere. He is the sovereign over the universe. And when it comes to the earthly rulers, God lifts up one and puts down another. Right now, not just people in our country, people around the world are all very focused on who's going to be the next president of the United States. Well, Pastor, do you not care? No, I care. But I also know that the United States may not still exist at the time that we've scheduled the election. Pastor, are you saying we're about to get nuked? I'm saying God can do anything he wants. My trust is in him. And therefore, whatever the media says, whatever the government does, whatever other nations do, none of it is going to overthrow the will of God. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Put your trust in the Lord. If you're trusting in him, you're not going to be shaken. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. He sets the prisoner free, gives sight to the blind, lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. It doesn't mean that because God is kind, nobody's fatherless. Nobody's ever widowed. Nobody has the sad experience of losing a loved one. No, that's not what it says. What it says is that whatever we go through in this fallen world, God will care for us. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. So what should we do? Last phrase, praise the Lord. He is worthy of our praise.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood, www.pastorwood.org.